Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here with a name you know. How could you not know him? We've got Sean Spears here with you, one of the newest WWE signings. Sean, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Whether it's a name that they want to know or not, it doesn't matter. They're dealing with two Seans right now. So let's not confuse them, but it's good, yeah, man. I'm glad we're able to do this, and things are going very, very well. As you can see, out, I got the, you know, the backdrop. I got all, you know, all this going on, full swag.
It is legitimately a beautiful backdrop. Like, I love it. And in my other podcast studio, I have a big wooden background as well. I'm looking for something to put back there, and that one's beautiful.
Which is weird. I'm in this room for the first time in a long time, and I have one of these at Flatbacks Wrestling School as well. Uh-huh. I don't think they know that, but see what happens. I got one of these at our school as well. So yeah, it's pretty neat.
Well, I'm very excited to also talk about Flatbacks here shortly, but you are back in WWE. I don't even know sort of where to start. You left AEW. I had heard from some people that it was a very amicable split in that sense, at least as far as they go. They had said, you know what, we like him, he works hard, he was always very easy to deal with, doors always open type of thing. Was that important for you upon leaving a company to make sure that that was the case, even though we hadn't necessarily seen you on screen as much lately?
It's very important to me. I am somebody who, for whatever anybody wants to say about me throughout the course of the 20 plus careers that I've been doing this, one thing that's going to be hard for them to say is that I have been unprofessional. I'm a very big believer that the professional wrestler, that word professional is paramount, is key. It's almost more important to me than the second word that comes into play. It was amicable, absolutely, as was me leaving WWE in 2019. I like to think that over the years I have accumulated a level of respect from my peers, from the people that employed me. There's obviously a two-way street there with a great deal of respect. So having things like that will prevent things from being nasty. They don't need to get to that point. It was just a time that I felt was best for me, best for my family. And as difficult as some decisions are sometimes, it's nice to know that that mutual respect can allow things to go smoothly, much smoothly than they may.
So we were talking off the air about priorities and how you never know what a wrestler or really anybody's priorities are. But I always have the rule, I'm not going to pretend to understand the priorities of artists, which effectively a lot of wrestlers are. People with families, because you never know what the time consumption might be there, or millionaires and billionaires in many cases. I don't know what their priorities are either. You're back in WWE. How did you sort of weigh that priority list because people are immediately looking and saying, well, he's obviously got a child. He's got a school nearby. How did you sort of weigh those?
It was important to me, A, to be able to come back to this company. That was the first big question of whether or not that was a possibility. And once the possibility was a definite possibility, then it became about what is the best course of action to take going forward. Let's be honest. Let's be clear as day. I'm not going to tell you guys anything you don't already know. WWE is on fire across the board. The numbers have never been better. And I don't know all the numbers. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't know all the numbers. But what I do know of them is that we are smashing record after record. The attendance is going through the roof. The merchandise is off the charts. Like, we're that wheel that we talk about is spinning faster and stronger than ever. So to be able to come back into that and be a spoke on that wheel again and be able to contribute in any way that I can is massive. Once the opportunity came to come to NXT, I jumped all over it. And there's going to be people watching this right now that are saying, well, why wouldn't you want to go to Raw? Why wouldn't you want to go to SmackDown? Like, NXT is also killing it. I've been here for a couple weeks now, and I have seen talent that has blown me away. And what I love about that is that it takes me back to when I first started training, or reminds me of my time here in the Performance Center, being in the spot that they're in right now, knowing where they're going to have the opportunity to possibly go, the things that they're going to go through. I'm able to help guide in that sense too, with my time here at the Performance Center. My responsibilities in WWE are a little more than just in the ring. And that is something that I don't take lightly. And that is something that I am massively interested in. At the end of the day, what it boiled down to after a conversation with my wife, I get to wake up every morning and see my son and play with him and do whatever I need to do. And then I get to be home in my bed every night, sleeping beside my wife. So in the middle of that, the in-between that, if I get to go hang out and learn from the Shawn Michaels of our world or the Matt Blooms, or like, I get to be a big kid in between those very important things. And I get to do that every day. Tell me how I made the wrong call. Tell me how I made a bad decision there, man.
So how does that first contact get made between you and WWE? And I'm intrigued, especially under this new regime, the process of hammering a deal out like that, because just 1 year ago, we were hearing about how nobody was getting hired. And now WWE's brought in yourself and Jade, Brian Pillman Jr., who is now Lexus King. Like, they're very clearly back in the fold of that. How did that sort of unravel?
I think it kind of goes back to the respect and the mutual respect and the contacts that I have made over the course of a pretty lengthy career. I had a few friends still within that still work in WWE. I've kept in touch with them, you know, all throughout the years, that when it started getting floated out there that I was leaving my previous stop, then it was more about, okay, well, what do you want to do next? And, you know, did you want to come back? Did you want us to reach out? Do you want us to, like, you know, everybody was kind of offering a helping hand, so to speak. Eventually what it boiled down to was me just having a conversation with my wife and kind of weighing out what was best for us timing wise. I reached out and thankfully there was a possibility there. And that's the thing. Like you said, a year ago, there's nothing happening. A year ago, no one's getting hired. This business, and you know probably better than anybody else, it changes almost daily. It is ever evolving. It moves fast. And when we're talking about the biggest company in the world, when we're talking about WWE, who is beyond at this point global, to the point we're talking WWE Universe, like, it is a massive company. It is a massive, fast machine. So things are going to change and business takes precedence. So if there is an opportunity or a star like a Cody Rhodes available, you're going to take him. If there's a star like Jade, you're going to take her. It's just good business. Even Lexus King, who you mentioned, like, there's a big difference between the Lexus King now and Brian Pillman that you've seen before. A lot of it is just the big WWE machine that has a wonderful history of making superstars. So, it came about rather quick and happily, quickly. So, it's an ever-changing business, and you never know who's going to pop up when. That's the biggest thing I was happy about, is that we were able to kind of keep things pretty quiet.
You did.
Unleashed it in NXT.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that. You did keep it very quiet. I had people in WWE, maybe the first week of January, that were like, well, of course we'd love to do business with him. He's great. He's nearby. He can help out in so many ways. But I didn't have anybody outright telling me he's signed. And that doesn't happen often. And I know that Shawn Michaels stood in for you in the rehearsals. Fightful's Corey Brennan had reported that. I later found out that on rundowns, you were listed as the quote man. So they went to great lengths to hide the fact. And it was great. The way I always put it is, nobody there owes me information. I owe it to my readers to try to get the information. And whenever you're able to keep a great secret like that, I'm like, oh, cool, I'll get you next time. But it was a great secret, because I had people speculating, who from Japan is it? What about this
quote? That first quote I gave you, it spun you guys left, right, and center.
It did. So I would love to hear the process of sort of going about this and keeping it quiet, because you all did a great job at that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We understand how the world works nowadays. Everybody wants the information, and a lot of people want to be the first to reveal the information.
Sure.
So this was pretty much kept close to the chest. I didn't tell a lot of friends. I didn't tell a lot of close friends. I told my wife, and I told her, do not tell your friends. Don't tell your best friends. Don't tell anybody. I didn't tell my family. I didn't tell anybody. The main people that knew, was Hunter, Sean, his team here, and that was pretty much it. A lot of the coaching staff had no idea. The talent had zero idea. I was kept in a room for the majority of the day. Even when, that news broke that Sean had stood in for me, I was there. I was already there. I was already in the building. It was just a matter of keeping things as tight-lipped as possible, because, I get excited too. I get excited when someone shows up out of the blue. I get excited when, this is going to happen. And then they throw me a curveball and I go, I didn't see that coming. I love that feeling. And in a day and age where information is so accessible, or, things are taped or things are aired in advance or spoilers get out or stuff like that, it's still nice nowadays to be kind of hit off guard. So that was our goal. And, kudos to Shawn Michaels, Matt Bloom, Johnny Russo, who's the lead writer here in NXT, set that setting, that debut setting up to a masterpiece T. And to be a part of that and to kind of feel that moment, it was a home run in terms of, there he is, he's back. So shout out to those guys, obviously wonderful minds, but big shout out for being able to keep it as quiet as long as they did. Cause it was probably for at least 4 weeks, we were able to keep things quiet.
It was a very great surprise too. Now, because of you actively being a trainer, your level of experience, and not just as a trainer, but in WWE and NXT and AEW, there are a lot of people that were immediately saying, okay, well, is he going to be in a player coach role? I don't know if we've got that in an official capacity or announced or anything. Is that what you're doing? I know that Tyler has occasionally filled in at the PC here and there.
Mm-hmm. I spend a great deal of time at the Performance Center almost daily. As I kind of mentioned before, my responsibilities go beyond just the in-ring aspect of things. I have mentioned before that, being 22 years deep, I don't have 22 years in front of me anymore. I kind of want to learn as much as I can about the entire system, so that if there is a segue into a different position within the company, I'm at least familiar with it, and that's an option. But I do enjoy working with young talent. I love teaching. I love being able to pass on whatever knowledge I have at any level. So the thing with my career, just being completely transparent, is that it hasn't just been a skyrocketing, you know, way. It's been a kind of peaks and valleys. So I find that to be an asset when it comes to young talent, because the majority of young talent are going to have to go through those peaks and valleys. And being able to navigate those valleys, it can be difficult at times. So the good news is that I have been there on multiple occasions. I'm very comfortable in those positions, but I'm also able to provide some insight on how to kind of, you know, keep a level head and keep your eye on the prize. So if that can kind of span into more of a solidified coaching side of things, wonderful. If I am able to help out in the production side of things here in NXT, wonderful. I'm basically here to contribute in WWE at any level. So, but having said that, I am still active in the ring, and there are still some things I feel I need to complete. I feel that in my previous time here, I felt I should have hit a certain level, and I didn't. And I think this is the opportunity now to get to that level and get the thing that I should have had back then. So
let's talk about one of those things that did happen back then. Cause one of my favorite live in-person wrestling moments was Royal Rumble 2017. Mm-hmm. That is, I was there in the crowd. I was in floor seats, couldn't see anything, but I could hear everything. And as number 10 starts to count down, there was not a 10, 9, 8. There was a 10, 10, 10. It wasn't announced, but how did it feel being in Gorilla, hearing the anticipation for you, who at the time was not main roster or anything like that? And then the adoration, the overwhelming like positivity that emanated from that. Because, I mean, it was quite frankly what everybody there wanted. And it paid off, and it was because of you.
That goes down as one of my fondest memories. And that's a lot of people's, like you're saying, just a fond memory of that era or the Perfect 10 era. Man, it's still every year it pops up on my timeline right around Royal Rumble time. I start getting tagged and things like that. So it's always good to see, because I'm able to look back on that, and I don't necessarily, the reaction plays a big part. It's very important to me, and it's wonderfully appreciated. But at the same time, I think about how I got to that moment. Like I said, the peaks and valleys that kind of led up to that. I think the biggest thing to me about that night, and I don't know if I've said this, but I might've said it publicly on one other person's podcast, was that as the countdown was starting in Gorilla, a lot of my peers were in Gorilla with me. So a lot of people that I had worked with over the years, a lot of people that I've kind of seen or at least heard about my story and my kind of rocky road up until this point. And as it was counting down, they all started clapping for me before I went out. So I get a little choked up about it now, because it was just a solidified confirmation that you got here, man. Like, enjoy the moment. Like, everything was for this, and it was 100% worth it. So one of my fondest memories in my career, but more, the camaraderie and the validation from my peers that night was what I'll carry with me for the rest of my life.
Was there ever any discussion or consideration to doing that again this year? Because, like, as people were talking about surprise Rumble entrance, I was like, man, I would love to see him back there at number 10. I've never been more disappointed to see Carlito. No disrespect to him, but
I love me some Carlito too. All I will say is that I shot my shot.
Okay.
I shot my shot. I just don't think I don't think I got it in early enough. I think I was too late. So, but I did shoot my shot. I tried.
I guess that's the difference in this regime. They do get things done a little bit sooner.
All I can do is, hey, how about this? And then I let the rest. I let it go. I let the rest play out as it can. I think I was a little late to the party. So you never know. That's what they tell you, right? You never know.
I want to talk a little bit about flatbacks, because you mentioned how you've been wrestling for 22 years. We've interviewed Emily J a number of times, who was not yet born when you started to wrestle. You and Tyler Breeze had a hand in training her, and so many others at Flatbacks. We saw her on Ring of Honor a few weeks ago as well. She spoke about how she said one of the things that she likes most about you guys is even after they finished the basic training of that, you're very honest. And you're like, this doesn't look good. This does look good. This is what you should focus on, et cetera. How is that for you when you see someone that you have had a hand in starting their career make their first appearance on TV or get a big booking or anything like that?
It's you feel like a proud papa, so to speak. And I mean that in every sense of the word, whether they're, you know, male talent or female, like Colton Gunn. You know, we trained him too from scratch. So every time I see him on TV or being highlighted in a specific way, I'm very like, oh, man, you're
insane levels of improvement between with those guys. Unreal. You know? Yeah.
Even, you know, we have Kiana James here in NXT, like just to see the leaps and bounds. And then she goes out on TV and you're just sitting there going like, she's really good. Oh, wait, we trained her. Yeah, of course you were. Like, we almost forget for a second because, like, she's grasping things so fast. And, you know, but when you're surrounded by the minds here, she's, you know, when you see that, you're just proud. You're overall proud. When it comes to being honest with talent, like, we tell them on day one that, like, look, we don't just save it to the last day of evaluations. You hear what we're going to tell you in evaluations all throughout because – if you don't, how are you supposed to correct anything that could be corrected or needs to be corrected? The other thing that we emphasize there at Flatbacks, and it's just a belief of mine as well, is that things need to look good, A, because people are paying money to watch this. And we have to give credibility, A, to them as a viewing audience, and to B, to the people who have done this and paved the way for us for all these years, that allowing us the opportunity to go out and continue moving this industry forward. We owe it to them to make sure that everything we do matters and everything we do looks good and everything we do is professional. And it's just trying to instill that mindset in young, impressionable minds going forward. So, you know, they're there with us for 8 weeks and then they're kind of off into the world. Hopefully they carry that level of professionalism, that work ethic to make sure things look good and to keep applying and to keep practicing and all that kind of stuff. So it is an honesty thing, but it's also, there's a lot more behind it than just saying, ah, that doesn't look good. Here's why it doesn't look good. And here's why it's important that it should. So it's more that kind of thing. Me and Breeze like to break things down almost as much as we possibly can because people retain information differently.
Actually had a friend in Orlando and she said, me and my boyfriend want to get into wrestling. Where do we go? And oh, I'm like, boy. Flatbacks. It's right there.
You're right. You're right. We're not far.
There was a lot made of Sean Spears versus Tyler Dillinger. How do you decide on that name? Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Was that even brought up, or was it pretty well just like, no, I want to be Sean Spears. Cool. We'll do that then.
It was discussed. Preference wise, I was asked, hey, what would you prefer? I immediately felt that Sean Spears was the best way to go. And then speaking with Shawn Michaels, he enjoyed the presentation of Sean Spears. He enjoyed kind of what I brought to the table in that aspect. And he said, well, how can we make this work? And we were able to kind of filter it up the ladder a little bit, and we were able to make it all work. The good news is I have the rights to the majority of everything that I present, whether that be name, music, logos. I have the rights to all of that. So I presented it as all possibilities. And luckily enough and thankfully enough, we were able to kind of keep the same concept of what I was working with. And now it was just about adding in a few more elements and trying to, you know, compound the character that I've already been trying to filter out. I'm a big character guy. I love characters. I grew up on the Rick Martells and the Rick Rudes and the Mr. Perfect. I love that stuff. So I will always be a character-based driven professional wrestler. So I love the entrances. That's something I stole from Triple H. Go back and watch all his entrances from WrestleManias. They're all awesome. They're all little movies. Like I tell a lot of young talent, it's the only time that everybody's looking at you. So why not put all the effort you can into that entrance? So I'm always going to look for that entertainment aspect and all of that. So yeah, I get long-winded and I get excited when we start talking, but hopefully that kind of answers your question a little bit.
I mean, one of my favorite things, long, one of my favorite things about your entrance is that Josiah theme that you had. My God.
Banger, right?
My God, I get pumped up. It made my workout playlist. Like, yeah, how can you not get pumped up listening to that song? What a talent he is. Like,
a very creative guy.
Wonderful guy, too.
And I was about to say, more importantly, the guy's a sweetheart. A sweetheart of a man. Incredibly, terribly gifted to the point where he's able to knock those out, not just for me, but for various people. So yes. shout out to my man, Josiah. And, you know, I tried, but there are certain things where they got to change some things up here. They got to switch.
Sure. But I mean, that's something that you also retain the rights to as well.
Still plays in my playlist. I still got that rocking every now and then, and I'm probably not going to let it go anytime soon.
So obviously before you came back to WWE, your schedule had been reduced somewhat. Was that something that you were in favor of, considering again, maybe your priorities had shifted or changed or any number of those? I noticed that you had started to work indies a little bit more as well, but what went into that, or did anything go into that?
The schedule changed a lot actually, only because things again were, moving quick over there, and it seemed like I couldn't find a spot, so to speak. So I'm somebody who likes to keep going, keep moving, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. So if I wasn't going to be able to find a spot here, I'm going to see if I can go work an independent over here. Like I was doing select ones. I wasn't trying to go crazy every weekend and be away from my family. But and that's a luxury that I have been able to afford after 22 years of service. But it was just about more wrestling in certain places and wrestling certain talents and still going out there and just having some fun. At the end of the day, like that's what this is supposed to be. It's fun. So that was my wife got pretty used to the schedule. She's like, wow, you're here all the time. Like, and I'm itching to like get to work. And I'm like, oh, I want to get out there more, but I don't want to take too much time away from my family. So now that I am here and I'm in town, I'm working every day and I am performing in NXT every Tuesday night and stuff like that. But I'm still home, and I'm still now. It's just about finding the perfect balance, right? Which will come in time. So luckily, the schedule has always ended up working out in my favor for whatever reason it is, and a lot of it is out of my hands. It just, man, I would like to be in a position where I can see my family a lot more and still, you know, have my foot in a wrestling ring somewhere. And here we are. This it ended up working out. So I will say, though, that in a perfect world, and this is me hoping, that this is the last stop. This is it. This is, regardless of my in-ring future here or whatnot, this is I can confidently say that I will finish my career here in WWE.
Okay. You mentioned your wife. Do you think she would ever be interested in doing performance center work? It's very clearly an environment that she is familiar with. It's nearby. She has a wealth of experience already that she could share. I honestly think that both her and Jess would be a wonderful addition if they could bring them into the performance center to help out talent all the time.
Man, if she wants a baby, if you're watching this, go, you know, whenever you're ready, go to Raw, go to SmackDown, go wherever you want. If she wants to switch roles, I will happily stay at home with my son and my soon to be other son that's on the way. I will be a house full of boys, kind of stay at home dad, if she wants to hit the ground running again. But to your point, yeah, she's got a wealth of knowledge. She's a bigger star than I will ever be. She's done some incredible stuff. She's the talented one of the team by a landslide. So, but again, that's going to be up to her. She still watches wrestling. She still keeps in contact with a lot of her friends. She still cheers on her friends when she's watching. She still gets all excited. So I still see it in there. It's still in there. But she's also very pregnant and very angry. So I just kind of, you know, hopefully we'll get there. We'll get there in time, but we'll get through this pregnancy part first.
A few more things I wanted to ask you about before we wrapped up. Yeah. Toronto is like a second home to me. That's where Fightful was born and based out of. I was there when you had your homecoming in AEW. Such a cool moment to see. You had been off TV for quite a while. How does the process?
Is that October? October?
I believe so. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah. You'd been off for quite a while, but how does the process of that even, like, how far out do you find out? Yeah, we want you for the Toronto show as a surprise.
That was a little different only because I was gone for an extended period of time during that time frame because my mother had passed away. So she was fighting cancer. And then we thought we had more time, but then a stroke kind of sped things up unexpectedly. So that kind of shut everything down.
Of course.
And then once I started feeling like, okay, you know, we grieved as, you know, you're going to grieve every day when you lose a parent. It's just, it in some way, shape or form, it's just, you end up learning how to deal with it. Once I was ready to kind of start getting back out there, I noticed that we were going to Toronto for the very first time. And I just thought, like, I'm home with my family anyway. And, you know, Toronto has always been a second home to me. I always, you know, I've had wonderful moments there. I've had, you know, TakeOver Toronto was there.
Yeah.
With Bobby Roode, like, that's one of the fondest memories of my career. So Toronto's always been gracious to me. They've always been very supportive of me. And I think that's what I needed at that time. I think I just needed a level of support somewhere. And I had support from my wife and I had support from my family, but I also had to be the one to kind of be the foundation for the other members of my family that, you know, we're not going to crack. We're going to be okay. And they're kind of looking at me to go, are you sure we're going to be okay? And I'm, yeah, we're going to be okay. But I'm trying to hold it together as well. Right. So I think Toronto was the perfect spot and I had thrown it out there and they said, yeah, this is the place to do it. And so thankfully they were as receptive as I was hoping they would be. And then that's where you got the in-ring promo afterwards where I kind of told them why I had been gone for so long. And I normally don't do that. I keep a lot of things like that close to the chest. But for some reason, I don't know why. And maybe it was my mama talking. Maybe I just felt like I needed to talk with all of them. So it was a very special moment. It was a very special night for me. And it was almost very therapeutic for me as well.
He also participated in somebody else's special moment. I interviewed him a while back. It hasn't aired yet. Chris Danger.
Oh, yeah.
a beloved guy. What also another wonderful guy. He had his match. He was telling me about the process of that. And obviously, you know, Adam Cole got injured. He was like, well, there's nobody else I would have rather wanted than Sean Spears. And then that's what happened. I mean, first off, Deadlock has a phenomenal thing going. Like, a wonderful environment and audience they've cultivated, full of good people in their audience in general. But how was that for you, sort of leading somebody through their first match?
Yeah, and you're right about Deadlock. Great guys to work with, very easy guys to work with. And one of those kind of unique, close-knit atmospheres where it feels like they're right on top of you and they're all vibing the same. And, you know, it's a very, as a performer, it's one of your perfect storm kind of audiences. But Chris, I beat the shit out of Chris. And that's kind of like, you know, that was a bit of the conversation. I was like, look, this is how this is kind of going to have to go, because this is your first match. And it's against someone who's had thousands, I think, in some way, shape, or form. It's probably up there. But he was, you know, to his credit, he had been putting in the work. He came down and trained with us for a little while. And then even on his own, he would go find other locations to kind of continue the training and get more ideas. And he was working out and he was, you know, getting gear made. He was doing everything that a brand new professional wrestler in this industry should be doing. And he was asking the right questions and he was, you know, he was just doing everything right. And he was obviously promoting himself very well through his YouTube and everything like that. So when Adam did get hurt, the question, hey, would you be interested in doing this? It's like, absolutely. Like Adam Cole has those are big shoes. Those are big shoes to fill, but I am not going to, you know, I got my own pair that I don't mind throwing right up there alongside his. So yeah. And what a perfect storm of an evening it was. I'm assuming you watched the match.
I did.
So and your thoughts are your thoughts or what it was, but I thought for what we presented that night and for how he, for the circumstances that arose during that match too, I thought he was, you know, he had a hell of a showing. Yes, I hope he's as proud of it as I am of him. Because he was pretty much challenged in almost every single way someone can be challenged in that match, and he pulled through with flying colors.
As we wrap up, the last thing I want to ask you, I like to pull out a random match from like way, way, way back in people's past, I found one that you were in. It was a six-way on July 15th, 2005. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I thought you were going to pull a match out randomly that you wanted me to talk about. Like, I thought it was one of those.
Oh, it will be. I mean, I'm sure. Hopefully, I interview you many times so we can do this. But included in this match, a 20-minute six-way match, it is Ballpark Brawl in Buffalo. A fellow by the name of Mastiff, who I'm not as familiar with, but also
he was a Buffalo guy.
Yeah, Chris Sabin, Jay Lethal, Petey Williams, Roderick Strong, and Sean Spears.
Yeah. I remember this. The scramble.
What a psychotic lineup for 2005 to hit like that when you book six guys in a six-way. When that happens and you have a match with that many ingredients that are, most of them are still involved in wrestling in some capacity. Petey's a producer now. Roderick Strong is a champion. Jay Lethal's all over TV. Chris Sabin's a champion. Like, when you're in there, are you like, yeah, we're all pretty good. We're all probably going to go somewhere.
I remember, now that you've brought it up, I remember I don't remember the details of the match exactly, but I remember the match you are speaking of. Back then, no, I did not think that one bit. I think I was probably flipping out and scared to death because I think I started in 2000. I only had about 3 years under my belt of experience, and I knew who these other guys were. I knew who Roddy was, and I knew who was who, but I also hadn't had much experience and I didn't dip into the States at all. So, what I did know is that I was in there with guys that are good, and to their credit, you know, they took care of me. They might've asked me and I said, how long have you been working? I was like, I got like 3 years under my belt. How many matches is that? I don't know, maybe 25 matches a year, maybe. Like, just, it's not a lot. And to their credit, they were very cool. No problem. You got any ideas? And they'll mix and match, and they'll just make sure that things come out okay, and that I come out looking okay. So, and I'm pretty sure that's exactly how it went, because I don't have any negative thoughts about anybody or that match in itself. If I did, I would tell you, because I don't care. but no, those guys, hats off to those guys, because they're just great dudes. But yeah, what a lineup. What a lineup of guys. So to be thrown in the fire with that, you either have to kind of step up, or you kind of just sink. I don't know. I like to think that I stepped up in some way, shape, or form. At least I did, learning wise.
Well, we're so excited to see what you do in NXT. Guys, of course, check out NXT every Tuesday night. We do a great post show on it as well. Sean Spears, hopefully this is the first of many times we speak, because I've got like a million things I could still ask you. But man, I appreciate you being so honest and candid and open about your process of going back to WWE. Let the people know where they can find you, support you, follow you.
A lot of my Twitter and Instagram handles are still the same, The Sean Spears or at Sean Spears. Obviously, WWE NXT, WWE in itself, all those handles, they're all still WWE. The Machine is still promoting NXT on a regular basis. So hopefully you'll find me a lot on that kind of stuff. And if not, then come right back here to Fightful. Talk to Sean Ross Sapp, because hopefully in these post-show reports that you do, you're putting me over. Okay. So if you're putting me over, this is where you're talking about me. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's up to you. I'm good either way. But as long as you're talking about me, I'm good.
I mean, Omos pulled some receipts on me in person. That was intimidating.
He's a big boy.
He's a little, slightly shorter than me, but he was like, I've been waiting for this moment for a year. And he had to scroll back for like a full, like 5 minutes on his phone and find where I was like, yeah, I don't think him and Brock is going to be that good. And he's like, now what do you say? And I was like, match of the year.
Yeah. He just said, yeah, it's pretty good.
It was just good. I was wrong.
And that's the thing, man. I've seen a little bit of it online too. It's like, oh, sure. Well, you know, this ain't going to be, you know, look, that's the beautiful thing about the freedom of speech. Say what you want, text what you want, tweet what you want. I don't care. If I'm in the conversation, you're talking about me, I'm good.
It ended in a nice handshake, because I was like, well, that's a subjective opinion. Like, it's not like a personal opinion. I've heard nothing but wonderful things about him personally. And my rule is, you never get personal with somebody like that. It's subjective entertainment that we are reviewing in that sense. And he was good. I think maybe he was a little intimidated by me, but that's
probably up until the point where that handshake that you guys said you had,
yeah,
like a baseball glove wrapping a hand around a pinky. So
that, he has very tiny hands. So I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So guys, check it out. NXT every Tuesday. Sean Spears, thank you so much. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.